On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, weekend recap from the victory over ECU. We'll go over my six-pack of picks, how that fared, and we'll also look ahead to the week as we head into Georgia Hate Week. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 2 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. As always, I'm your host, Tim Cox. And oh, my goodness gracious, what a day to be a football fan. Full slate of college football on Saturday, full slate of NFL today. It is just nonstop football, and I cannot get enough of it. It is truly the most wonderful time of the year. But I do have to apologize if my voice is a little raspy. That's what yelling at a TV all weekend will do to you, especially after the game that was ECU versus South Carolina. But as a quick refresher for y'all, I think I want to have the schedule of this podcast to be on Mondays and Fridays. So today, obviously, will be the Monday episode. I will review the previous weekend, and I'll preview the week ahead. And Friday will basically be the inverse of that, where I'll cover any news and notes that happen over a week, and then look ahead and preview whatever is happening to be scheduled on that weekend. And again, as a special ode to our university, every episode I'm trying to keep it between 1801 and 2001. So 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second. Of course, you know, minus or plus a little bit here for the intro. And I just want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Christian Castro, a.k.a. DJ Tiempo. That intro that y'all listened to, that is an original song. He made that out of thin air, came up with the whole idea, like we had the rooster crow going and all that jazz. So if you're a fan of house music, and if you are in the greater Atlanta area, go check him out. I'll make sure to share him a little bit on my Instagram so you guys have easy access to go see his shows. But with all that being said, let's take a look back on the weekend, and wow, how about that 2-0 feeling? I got that loving feeling. God, I can't believe I just did that. What the hell was that? Don't ever let me do that again. But I mean, we knew it was going to be a hard-fought game, right? But it is just much easier said than done to sit here and talk about, oh yeah, it's going to be a close game, it's going to be hard-fought. But that is just stress, because you know, once you kick the ball off, it's just all bets are out the window, right? But I mean, overall, you have to be happy with the fight and determination that the whole team had. You know, I mean, not letting up when there was a very early hole and a little adversity right out of the jump. And something I mentioned before the game in the last episode was I felt that this was a perfect road game, not just for the players, but for the coaches. Because I personally, I wanted to see how they would make adjustments and handle that environment and being in a tight game. And I have to say, end of the day, I'm happy. I mean, it feels like in years past, those teams might have cowered and they wouldn't make the adjustments at the half and they wouldn't come out with the energy, but this team did. And, you know, the power run game with Lloyd and Harris running between the tackles, it just wasn't working. You know, ECU was selling out for the run all game. They had many different blitz packages, twists, and things like that. And it was nice to see Coach Satterfield make the small adjustment, but it went a big way, especially in the second half, to do more stretch runs and obviously bringing Juju McDowell into things, because he brought that energy, that spark that felt like the team needed, but just the sheer speed that he has to get to that spot and to turn up field, it was really, really awesome to see. And something that cannot be stated enough is just the pure passion and joy that Shane Beamer has as being our head coach. I mean, it was the pick. It was a Darius Rush. There was the pick right on the sideline. He was right there. He was screaming in excitement. He was like a little boy. It was just electric. And seeing everything that he said afterwards, and really, he had pure emotion. He was choking up talking about these kids, and everything that they have been through this past year with obviously the change and all the turnover, it was just great to see. And you know, we talk about all this above all else, you know, love your brother. And you can really start to see that, and it starts with him. But during the game, you know, he was walking up and down the sideline, going to the guys on the bench, putting his arm around different guys and really pumping them up. And I thought that that was a small thing that was really, really nice to see, because it felt like in years past, I felt like we never saw Will Muschamp do that. He would just stand and be on an island by himself and just yelling at the refs, right? It felt like he would blame everybody else for our own faults. And I think that just speaks to the culture shift that Shane Beamer is trying to bring in the sense of, hey, we're all in this together. We have to control our emotions and don't let the outside things bring us down. So that is my summation of the coaching staff, at least. And, you know, through two games, there's a lot to like, and it's really is exciting. But to help break down these games, what I wanted to do, I guess we'll just keep it simple, right? I'm going to look at both sides of the ball. I'm just going to say what I like and what I didn't like. And, you know, I'm not going to dive into too much. But with that being said, we're going to kick things off with the defense. So what did I like? Well, damn near everything. I mean, aside from a trick play that had everybody and their mothers tricked from in the very first play, they only gave up 10 points outside of that. But I think the biggest thing was that it was only three in the second half. They essentially pitched a shutout in the second half, which was the whole reason that this team was able to get back and compete and come back and win this game in the first place. And I said before the game that I felt that the front seven needed to contain. And aside from a couple of plays, it felt like they really did that. I mean, the D-line was just lights out. We saw all different guys making plays. Obviously, J.J. and Igbari had a big play. Aaron Sterling was on one. I even saw my man Boogie Hundley make a nice play. But of course, that is not to be outdone without the one and only big man Damani Staley with the pick six. Two pick sixes in as many games. That is just unbelievable. But my dude, that was a big man trucking down that field. It was really fun to see. And, I mean, what did I not like? Again, there wasn't really a ton to not like. Defense really, really played well, in my opinion. But there were a couple of bad penalties. Obviously, the Cam Smith taunting one sticks out. I mean, that guy, he's literally turning into a great corner before our very eyes. And, you know, you obviously want to have that edge. You want to be a dog. But you have to be able to keep those in check. And I actually think Shane Beamer benched him for – that was towards the – end of the first half, and I think he was benched for a while. So I did like to see that, you know, some accountability on their part. But yeah, there was not a whole heck of a lot to complain about with that defense. Now on the offensive side of the ball, all right, what did I like? I loved the fight that the offense showed. I mean, this is the whole team, right? They battled each play. You saw guys giving a good second effort. There's a lot of alliteration there. But you saw guys like Dak Joyner. It was great to see him get that touchdown. You know, we all had such high hopes for him, right? I mean, me personally, I've been a big fan of his. I followed him on Instagram for a couple of years at this point. He's a great kid. He has a great work ethic. So it was really great to see him grow into his own there. And again, my guy Josh Van having another big day. I mean, yeah, there was that weird freak fumble on like the 2-inch line. I would have sworn that he had crossed the plane. But all things considered, outside of that, he had a nice day. So again, everyone say it with me. Everyone get in the van because this kid is going places. Trust me, that's going to catch on. I believe it. But I touched on it a little bit in the intro there, but I really liked us seeing more of those stretch run plays, right? Not just running between the tackles, changing up the plan a little bit to get some more guys in space. And it was awesome to see Juju McDowell bring that spark. Because, you know, anyone who's followed this team over the offseason has heard a lot about this kid. You know, he's fast, he's electric, he's going to be awesome in special teams, and he can compete for some time in the running back room. Well, it's awesome to see that come to fruition, and I totally agree. I mean, he had that great run back for the in the kickoff, and then they just stuck with him, you know? And I like that. You know, you have to be able to say who has the hot hand here. In years past, it felt like we were held to a box. Like, all right, it has to be Kevin Harris is the guy. He is our number one back. This is the narrative we're going to push. And this staff said, you know what? His strength, Lloyd's strength right now, it's just not getting it done. So they needed a change, and it was really cool to see that. What did I not like? I mean, so you got to start at the top. You just have to. Zeb was just not what you need, all right, to win at a consistent level. I know he's not in there to do that, but he was just not it. You know, I felt like for every good throw he had, there was one or two that were just straight awful. I mean, there was one in particular. I don't remember when it was, but he threw it, and I felt that, like, I could throw it better, you know, or like someone with one arm could throw it better. And that's just not what you need. I mean, he's the backup. So, yeah, that's going to happen. But if he is the very best we can muster without Luke, then we need to work on that. And we need to figure out how can we scheme better and how can we raise the game of everybody in that quarterback room. Because if Luke is banged up again, then that needs to be addressed right away. And then, you know, the O-line, it felt like to me they didn't get a good push on a consistent basis. So it was weird. You know, it was kind of like the first game. And I thought, though, similar to the first game, in the second half, they tightened things up a bit. But, you know, it's just a veteran group. And with the strength of the offense presumably being our running backs, right, you need to find a way to improve as we head into conference play with better D lines and really good coaching staffs ahead the way. And it just felt like ECU, they were dialing up different blitz packages that were confusing our line. So like on a one-on-one, it felt like they were winning that, generally speaking, but you saw a lot of times that a linebacker or a safety would just fly past the line and not even get touched. So we have to figure out, why is that happening? Where's the communication breakdown? Because again, you're heading into conference play. You cannot let that happen. But how can I not recap this game without the biggest shout out going to Parker, ice in his veins, White? My man drilled that kick, and it's just so nice, you know, having a veteran kicker and someone who you trust. It gives you an edge. It really does. Because, you know, in those close games, you can have a little bit of peace of mind. I mean, as much as peace of mind as you can have in a last second field goal, because I certainly did not feel very peaceful in that moment. But it was really, it's really cool to see with Parker White. I'm going to spin off here. I mean, I remember him. I don't know if it was his freshman year, I believe he started, and it was the Louisiana Tech game, I believe. And he missed three or four kicks. And I've never really let that go, at least in my own mind with him. I'm always nervous and I'm like, oh man, like, is he going to go back to this? But he has steadily improved and worked on his craft and has quietly become an incredible kicker in the SEC and in America. I mean, he had that streak that Muschamp broke last year where it was, you know, perfect within kicks of, it was like 40 yards or something like that. And Muschamp pushed him out there too, you know, at a ridiculous time. But I think that Parker White is going to be a difference maker. I mean, right there, he did it. The ECU game, this is a game you absolutely 100% had to have. If you have hopes for a bowl game, which should be the floor, the bare minimum floor at the University of South Carolina, this is a game you had to win. And because of Parker White, we did it. So overall, that was a stressful but electric game. It honestly felt like we were beating ourselves at times. So you need to clean that up, because without that, you know, we might even be up before that last drive, right? Like, you take away a fumble, you take away a penalty here and there, and we're a little bit more comfortable. But I'll take 2-0. I'll take 2-0 any way I can get it. And we have work to do. We have a lot of work. But let's enjoy this and enjoy this feeling. And isn't it freaking nice? It's the second week of the season, and we've already matched our win total from all of last year. And I got to believe that we can keep battling and keep ourselves into games and continue to trend well. All right. So that was fun. Now, that was a really good game. Really, really good showing, and I'm proud of this team. So moving on to review my six-pack of picks, my official rating on how I did. Could have been worse. It could have been worse. We went 3-for-3. I honestly thought I went 2-4 until this morning. I'm just so bad at math. But we went 3-3 with the wins being at Coastal, -26.5. Iowa, +4.5. They got that win straight out comfortably. You're welcome. And Oregon, Ohio State, under by a point. It was 63. I had 64. That's why I thought I lost, because I was looking at it. I was like, oh, there's no way. But that game, them, Ohio State losing, first off, in Columbus, which rarely happens, but it opens up a whole can of worms about early conversations about where do they finish, what does the playoff look like now. It's going to be a huge story to watch. I mean, they're going to have to win out. But this now opens the possibility for some maybe new playoff matchups, some new faces getting in there. You know, you have Clemson with a big loss already. You have Ohio State with a big loss already. So this could shape up to be a pretty interesting playoff year. But my losses were Oklahoma State minus 13. That was a close game. Did not cover there. Miami and App State over 54 was under. And the biggest miss of the day, it was such a bad bet, you could probably write a book on it. But Texas A&M and Colorado, I had the over at 50, and they scored a combined 17 points. That's gambling for you, folks. Yep. All right. Well, I just have to take that one in stride. And real quick, the Miami-App State game, if you haven't seen the video of the cat, there was like a stray cat or something, and somehow it was like hanging from a wire, like a literal like catwalk. And these guys had an American flag, a Miami flag, and it fell, and they caught it. And then my dude picked it up like it was Simba, and it's an epic video. If you haven't seen it, the cat is all right, so it's great to watch, and it's just college football is just the best. I love it. But looking forward to the week ahead. To hell, to hell, to hell with Georgia. It is Georgia Hate Week. I'm looking forward most off, really, to the content and all the memes we're about to see. I mean, I hate Georgia. I'll touch more on this on Friday's show, but I really, really hate Georgia, like with a passion. So I'm excited to see all the content and for all the retweets. Again, Cox, Gamecocks on Twitter, and then the Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And once again, it's going to be a late plug. Like and subscribe, right? We're 16 minutes into this one, so we're basically two episodes in. I hope I've made a good impression by now. Like and subscribe. Thank you all so much. But the number one story I want to see of the week, it has to be, it's really the only story, is the health of Luke Doty. He was fully dressed on Saturday. He even warmed up, but he obviously, you know, we watched the game. He didn't play a snap. Actually, today, about an hour before I recorded this, it came out that Beamer had said on his coach's call that Luke could have played if they needed him to. Now, but to me, it sure felt like we could have needed him on Saturday, especially when you have a very, very slow first quarter and it wasn't looking like Zeb was lights out or anything. And I mean, especially when you're sluggish, you might need a spark. So, you know, I don't think he was fully 100%. I think that would have been if we were down bad, not hanging in there. So we need to see if he's going to actually be 100% this week. Because with Luke, you know, I said it on last week's show, there is a whole side of the playbook that opens up. But at a minimum, if the O-line cannot stop blitz packages that Georgia is going to send, and their front four is going to be the best we've seen to this point, he can buy some time with his mobility to get some throws out, and maybe can even do some option plays like that. But monitoring this story, how much practice time he gets, is by far the storyline of the week for me. So please, let's all share the stories. Let's find as much info we can get, because it would just be nice to know that Luke is 100% good to go. But, I mean, outside of that, here's what I'm thinking. You know, this team, obviously, we have some things to work on. Right? There is no doubt. And we knew that. I think the ECU game was a good learning experience for everyone. And I mean, hell, it was an experience, a learning experience for us fans, right? Noon, you had to be locked in. That's like a mid-season form. Like starting the day cranking early. You know, the beers were flowing all day. So I think just like we learned how to handle that, I think the players did, and I think the coaches did. So we need to hear some improvements. I want to hear and read things throughout the week that guys are getting better. How is the O-line breaking down this film and learning how to handle on some new packages and things like that? So that's what I'm going to keep in mind too, because heading into Athens anytime is going to be tough. At night, it's going to be extra hard. I think we're a 32-point underdog. Woo! Love it, baby. I'll take that any day. But with that, that's my recap. That's my look ahead. That was exciting. That was fun. I'm excited for this team. It's been a lot of fun seeing Shane Beamer and everything change the way we think and act about our football team. So with that, I'm going to sign off until Friday. And as always, go Cocks.